Boss is after my phone on. I'll take you to call in like 20 minutes for like 2 seconds. So just hang in there. Okay. Okay, I think we left off the end of Shulchan Aruch, right? Everyone's full? Good. So move on to the next part of the meal. Shulchan Aruch. That's good for the song. Tzafun. Okay, Tzafun. So Tzafun is Achias Afikomen. So we already spoke about Afikomen earlier. Machlekes HaRishonim, why are we eating Afikomen in the first place? So whether we're eating it B'Teiras Mitzvah Sechelas Matzah, whether we're eating it B'Teiras Zechel Kamer Pesach, the Shulchan Aruch writes that it should be eaten before Chatzos. There was Machlekes HaTanoim. When is the Sof Zman of Achilles Korban Pesach? And the Gemara says in the end of Pesachim that whenever the Sof Zman Achilles Korban Pesach, that's the same Zman for the Sof Zman Achilles Matzah. Matzah and Pesach go hand in hand. So the Gemara quotes Machlekes between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Loz ben Azarias. Rabbi Loz ben Azarias looked after Maposuk. V'yochlos habosa b'layla hazeh. And it says, B'layla hazeh, they refers to Chatzoy, so too, the Achilles Korban Pesach, and by extension, the Matzah, the Moror, has to be B'layla hazeh, has to be before Chatzoy. So Rabbi Akiva says that's not what the Pesach means. B'chalta b'sob b'chipazon, you're allowed to eat the Korban Pesach until Shas Chipazon, until the morning when they're going to run out. All night, everyone was relaxed, no one was going anywhere, they weren't allowed to leave anyway. So the Shas Chipazon was in the morning, so you can eat the Korban Pesach to be in the morning also. And the Gemara says that Rabbi Akiva agrees that mid the Rabbanon, you shouldn't eat the Korban Pesach after Chatzos, because the Gezeir, you may eat it after Alos Hashach. After Alos Hashach, it's going to become Nosa, you're going to be Chayav Kares. So Rabbi Akiva was nervous to let you continue eating a Korban Pesach after Chatzos. But many claim that that is the Rabban, according to Rabbi Akiva, was never said on Matzah. It was only said on Pesach, it was Korban Pesach. It's going to be a big mishol if you eat it after Chatzos. If it comes to Matzah, so you'll eat it after Alos Hashach. If you goof and you eat it after Alos Hashach, the world's not going to come to an end. You just lost being fulfilling the mitzvah. So therefore, it's quite possible that according to Rabbi Akiva, you can eat the matzah, even the chachila, perhaps after Chatzos. According to Rabbi Elazar, you're not even yotzei min haTorah. How do we paskin in this machlokes? So there are stevers and mishnayos and stav mishnayos and sugyos, and the bottom line to machlokes that we showed him. So we paskin l'aloch that's a sveik in the dina. Therefore, we say that one should try very, very hard to finish the afikomen before Chatzos, because there's a chashash of a mitzvah derais v'chelos matzah, and there's a concern if you're not going to fulfill the takonas achamim zeichel akom pesach going to the rush. So therefore, we try very, very hard to make the afikomen to be in before Chatzos. Those who are not so machbet, so they're not so machbet. Yeah, so it doesn't sound that way. It sounds some Achareim say that he held it as a mitzvah magid after this man. Some say that he was in Rabbi Akiva's town, so he didn't want to argue with Rabbi Akiva. But we don't find in the Gemara that he was actually a change. The Gemara quotes Rabbi Zayah 5 times. The Gemara never quotes that he actually was Chayzibah. Sometimes the Gemara quotes a Tana, but Chayzibah. Here the Gemara doesn't quote that story as being a proof that he was a Chayzibah. So I don't know, I'm not sure. Maybe somebody says that. I don't know. The Gemara doesn't sound that way. There was a further machlekes that we showed him, that which was our practice is to try to finish afikomen before Chatzos. What about the rest of the Seder? What about the Holland and the rest of the Dalakosos? So that was also machlekes that we showed him. So the Ran quotes that the Balei Taisis were a little bit more makel on that Shaila, because it's only a Durabanan anyway, the Dalakosos and the Holland, assuming it was only a Durabanan. Therefore, by Durabanans, we can follow Rabbi Akiva's view. And the Ran says he doesn't think that's right. The Lechachili should try to finish the entire thing before Chatzos. That's what the Rambam writes, that the correct practice is to try to finish the entire halachic part of the Seder. You want to sing Chagadjit, Echad Miyodeya, after Chatzos, that you can do. But the halachic part of the Seder comes to an end by the end of the fourth kos, right before Nirtza. So Lechachili wants you to try to do that. So those who are able to do that, Matoy Manoim, those who are not able to do that, so they're relying on those who Shem will say that Ad Kedekach, the guy who mitzvahs the Rabbani, you don't have to. Most of the people in your age range are not balabatim as to what's going on at your own Seder. So even those who are young married usually are not in control. Those who are bachurim for sure not in control. So you just got to go with the flow. So you try your best to do it. You don't have to drive the whole world crazy on any of these things. If one sees that they're not going to make the afikomen b'chatzos, so there are those who follow the Avnei Nezer, as a famous chiddush. The Avnei Nezer writes, if you're running late and you're 5 minutes before chatzos, so he says, yishtech a piece of matzah and eat it all tonight. That if Rabbi Akiva is right, so this is not the afikomen anyway, it's just having another piece of dessert. And if Rabbi Loz ben Azariah is right, this should be the matzah. and then you wait 2 minutes left after Chatzos, and then after Chatzos, according to Blos Ben Azariah, you're allowed to continue eating, because the Seder is over, the night's over, according to Blos Ben Azariah. It's like eating lunch tomorrow. So that was the famous Chap of the Avnei Nezer, that 2 minutes before Chatzos, you take a piece of batzel, a tray, and shirt. So those who want to follow that practice, follow the old Chassidi Shebachim here from Sakachov, so we follow that, your family does Sakachov in Hagam, right? So, okay, so they follow the Avnei Nezer. Those who don't, so don't follow that practice. We're supposed to eat the matzah, they have to come in one place. That's supposed to spatzir around when you have to be coming. Because if it's a zeichel coming Pesach, so coming Pesach is supposed to be eaten in one place. That's the machlek satanoim. If your room move from one room to another, so therefore you should try to stay in one location when you're eating the afikomen. After you finish eating the afikomen, so then you bench. So borech, so benching on Pesach night is not that complicated. It's the same benching as any other night of the year, with the exception that you have to add in Yalav Yavo. If you forgot to say Yalav Yavo, but to say it, that's a big, big problem. We spoke about this earlier on, that even though there was some Rishon with one day in Taisa and Sukkah that says that if you miss Yalav Yavo on Yontif, so you don't have to repeat the benching, because one day in Taisa held there's no mitzvah of eating pas on Yontif. We have it not to pass that way, but that was at least one opinion. But even that day agrees that on Lela Seder, or for Sukkahs, when you are mechuv to eat pas, then you would have to repeat the benching. Even a woman would have to repeat the benching if she left out Yalav Yavo on the Lela Seder, even though Kivega claims that if she forgot Yalav Yavo on Yontif, she wouldn't have to go back, because Kivega the Chiddush that women are pturos from Sudas Yontif, even that we weren't sure about. But by Lela Seder, for sure women are chayavos to eat matzah, so therefore for sure they would, if they left out Yalav Yavo, they would be required to bench. There's a whole tumble in the poskim about if a person benched without saying Yalav Yavo, and then they realize it and they already drank the third kos. So when they bench again, should they use it to use another kos? Not to use another kos. That gets complicated, because we try not to be most of all kosos. So we should have that lotion that arba kosos tikkun rabbanon, not more than that. So you try not to add on extra kosos. So the shaila is that, but I wasn't yet to benching. If I was yet to benching, I wasn't using the third kos. So there's a famous word for Reb Chaim that when we have different askaros in the benching. So it could be that I was yotzei benching. The fact that sometimes I have to repeat the benching, if I forgot Ritzia, I forgot Yalav Yavo, it's not sure that I wasn't yotzei benching. I was yotzei benching. It's just that there's a din that you have to be masked in the main of Ma'ira. So I have to be masked in Ma'ira in a Birchas HaMazon. I can't stop, just get up and say Yalav Yavo in the middle of singing Echad Miyodeh, but saying Yalav Yavo. You have to say Yalav Yavo in the context of a benching. So I'm a chuyuf to bench a second time in order to enable me to be masked the yomtif of Yalav Yavo. But it's not that it wasn't yotzei the benching proper. So that's a big, big question whether that's true or not. So if that's true, so then maybe one could defend the practice of not necessarily having to bench again on the coast, because I was technically yotzei bechamaz, and that's a tumble that the place can talk about. Then we move on after a benching, so then we move to Hallel, and that's where you pour the fourth coast. The third coast is for Bichza Mazun. The Gemara says that, according to many opinions, you need a coast all the time when you bench, even on a weekday lunch. But the Gemara says, even if you hold that, not. So Pesach night, everybody benches Talakos. Because anyway, we have to drink Talakos, so we might as well do it on the mitzvah Bichza Mazun.
You can yotzei the Talakos, but
because you're supposed to, there was a twofold takana that there was also a takana to do the mitzvah salayla ala kos. So if I just drink a dalakos, the Gemara says shlosh seder, so I'm not really yotze kitikuna. I'm yotze partially, but I'm not yotze completely. If I just, let's say the seder starts, I take four cups of wine and call it a night. So I was yotze to some degree, but I wasn't yotze the mitzvah salayla seder, so that's a problem. So then we move to Hallel. So right before Hallel, so we fill up the fourth coast. So we don't say Hallel ala coast. At that point, most people have the practice filling up the coast of Eliyahu Hanavi. So the coast of Eliyahu Hanavi is a very mystical, mystical thing. We're not exactly sure about this whole story about Eliyahu Hanavi drinking from the coast. We're not exactly sure who started that, where that. Doesn't say that in the Gemara. But whatever it is, the Minhag Yisrael is that you pour an extra coast for Kesher Eliyahu, and then you recite the Hallel ala coast. You have to say Hallel, every single word of Hallel, the same way by Kriyas HaMegillah. If you miss a word, so you're not Yotze. You miss a word of Hallel, you're not Yotze either. So people have to be careful not to become too fast asleep at that point. It's late at night, people drank a little bit, they're tired, so you have to say every word, Hallel, Kedasu, Chedin. You have to try to pronounce the words properly, like any other mitzvah, like you say Kriyas Shema, like you say Kriyas HaMegillah. You have to recite the Hallel properly. The Hallel on Pesach night is recited in a very, very funny way. The Hallel is split. that we say the first two brachim with the halal before the Suda, that we have the rest of the halal and the rest of the Suda. So that's the Mishnah, the end of Maseches Pesachim. The Chazal formulated the halal in a very, very strange way on Pesach night. There are a lot of things strange about the halal on Pesach night. One thing that's strange is that it's said at night. The halal is usually said in the daytime. The Gemara says that at the time of halal is from the morning till the night. So the Mishnah in Maseches Megillah lists of halal as one of those mitzvahs that's dafka b'yom v'lo b'layla, like kishofra, like in Fesluluv, certain from the mitzvahs hayom. So halal and Pesach night is the gamri and different halal. That's why there's a statement of the Gemara, maybe Yechanan, that yitches yom sh'yach yom is a halal. There are 18 days that you say a halal shalim, and then you have 3 extra days in Chutz L'Arts, so the extra speak of yom is at the end. But the yitches yom sh'yach yom is a halal, so some of the Rishonim ask the Kasha, how come halal to say it isn't on the list? The Gemara spells out what the days are, the 8 days of Chanukah, and the 8 days of Sukkot, the Shavuot, the Pesach, but the halal to say it isn't mentioned, even though the Mishnah says beferish, you have to say halal, because if you say halal, so some Rishonim just say, it's true, but it's not yomim. Yichas yom shah, yichas yom belaylechet. It means it's not on the list of Yechonik. It's a different kind of a halal. So there was a major machlekes of Rishonim in the end of Maseches Pesachim, whether you recite a bracha on halal on the Leil HaSeder. So some Rishonim said, yeah, of course you say halal. Of course make a bracha. Like make a taste. Why? It's a mitzvah. So why shouldn't you make a bracha? Why is it less than any other halal? When you have a halal, it's only shaminog. So that's a big machlekes of Rishonim. The Gemara says in Tainis that halal and Rishchadish is not mikra din. There are two things that trigger halal mikra din. Either it's a miracle, it's a nace triggers halal. Chanukah, you say halal and chanukah, even though it's not a yomtiv, and a yomtiv triggers halal. So shavuos, there's no nace, and shavuos shmini atzer, there's no nace. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, the Gemara says, are enough yom tovim that should have warranted halal. The only reason why we don't say it is because of sifrei chaim, sifrei beis, psuch lefanav. It's not appropriate. It would detract from the yom adin to say halal in that state of mind. But anytime you have a yantiv triggers a halal. So the Gemara says in Tainis that Rish Chodesh is not really a yantiv, and Rish Chodesh is not as manes. So what are you saying halal for? So the Gemara says, Taka, right, you don't really have to say halal in Rish Chodesh. The Gemara says it's a halal shal minik. It was Rish Chodesh, a little bit of a higher day, a little bit of shayom. So a minik developed in some communities in Israel to recite halal in Rish Chodesh. The Gemara says that this man, the Amorim, the early Amorim, it wasn't even a universal minik. The Gemara says that Rav arrived in the town and he saw that they were saying halal, so he wasn't familiar with that practice. He didn't usually have the practice. So there were different minhagim, even bizman chazal. But the later days, by the time of the end of the Gemara, so it became, I think, universal. That's why all communities recite halal on Rosh Chodesh. But the Gemara says that since halal on Rosh Chodesh is only a minig, therefore it's only said as a chatzi halal. Therefore you leave out a couple of prakim just to show that it's not the real McCoy. So there was a machlekes, the Rambam and Rabbeinu Tam, Abba Zoi was saying halal on Rosh Chodesh, it's only a minig, should you make a bracha or not? So the Rambam says, no, you make a bracha. The Rambam sheet is that you never make brachas on minhagim. The Gemara says at the end of Sukkah, and when you bang Hoshanas on Hoshana Rabbah, you don't make a bracha. The Gemara says, because it's only a minig anyway. It's not a real din. It's not a tachan socham. It's not a mitzvah drama. It's not a mitzvah derais. It's just a minig bialma. It's an old minig that was instituted in the days of Chagi Zechai Malach, instituted by Nevi'im. But it's the minig Nevi'im, not a tachanas and Nevi'im. And therefore, the Gemara says, you don't make a bracha. So the Rambam says, in the end of his brachas, you never make a bracha on any minig. And Rabbi Natam disagrees. Rabbi Natam says that certain minhagim you do, certain minhagim you don't. Just because the Gemara says you don't on Hoshana Rabbah doesn't mean that's a cloud all the way all the minhagim. Some minhagim we do, some minhagim we don't. So you have to figure out what the rule is. So the Briska Rabbah is a whole famous abiyah to try to figure out what is the Haggadah according to Rabbi Natan. Which minhagim yeah, which minhagim no. So in Halal and Rosh Chodesh, maybe yeah, maybe not. But on Halal and Pesach HaLeh, it's for sure din. It's a Mishnah. It's a halach, you have to say halo. So why in the world shouldn't have a bracha? So some Rishonim say it does. Some Rishonim say you make a bracha. Some Rishonim say it's halal, ligvos halal, whatever nusach you say on the bracha of halal. So some Rishonim say it does. And other Rishonim give all kind of very, very interesting reasons as to why there's no bracha in the halal. So a variety of different reasons as to why there's no bracha in the halal. So the Ran quotes from Rav Haigon that the reason why you don't say halal, you don't say a bracha in the halal of Leil HaPesach, because it's not a kriyas halal, it's a shiras halal. So you don't say a bracha on that. What do they mean? What do the words mean? It's a shiras halal. So the Rav explained that what the Haigon is driving at is as follows, that there are different kinds of halal. There are halals that are planned events. It means I look at the calendar, I see today is the first day of Hanukkah, I'm going to say halal. Well, today is Shavuos, today is Shmini Atzeres, I'm going to say halal. So whenever you have a halal that's a planned event, it's a mitzvah. A bracha is a hachana for a mitzvah. So let's say I know it's Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to blow shofar today. So part of my hachana for tzkiyas shofar is I make a bracha to praise the Rebbe Shalom. Or I'm going to shake a lulav. So the hachana is a mitzvah, you recite a bracha. When you have a mitzvah that it's not a planned event, it's something that's it's a difficult halal, it's a halal that's spontaneous, it's a halal that just bursts forth. All of a sudden, before my very eyes, I start to sing halal. You don't make a bracha on that. A bracha would undermine that spontaneity. That means the whole idea of the halal on Pesach night is supposed to be a burst forth of song. So that's what Rav Haigon meant. It's halal shel shira. Shira is not a plan. Shira is all of a sudden I'm walking in, and all of a sudden a tune enters into my head and I have this unbelievable bracha kedush. I start to sing. That's what halal shel shira is. Halal shel kriya means that I open up the siddur on page 326 of the Art Scroll. It says to say halal. So when you have a planned halal, you make a bracha. When you have a spontaneous halal, then you don't make a bracha. Why is it that halal on the Seder is spontaneous? What is the spontaneous dimension of halal the Seder that a dafka doesn't warrant a bracha? So this is linked to the idea of b'chol dor v'dor. So remember we said that there's a dual chi of a b'chol dor v'dor. Every generation you have to view yourself as you left Mitzrayim. That's a mitzvah shebalev, mitzvah shebmachshava. You have to actually view yourself and imagine yourself that you left. You have to close your eyes and meditate and contemplate the fact that you leave Mitzrayim. There's also an idea of demonstrating they left Mitzrayim. You have to drink dal kaisas and do haseb derecheres, all the different things that are associated with ma'isim of becoming a ben chayrim. So that chiyuv of b'chol dor v'dor chayvad liros, that you have to view it as we left Mitzrayim. So when the Rambam quotes that chiyuv, he adds a word. We don't have that word in the Mishnah, but the Rambam adds the chiyuv. The Rambam adds the word b'chol dor v'dor chayvad liros kil yotza atav b'mitzrayim ayin tof hey, as if you left Mitzrayim right now. So the Rambam is mechadish to us that the mitzvah on Leil Pesach is not to think of yourself in the past tense. Like the Seder is not a history book; it's current events. It's the events are happening as we're speaking. The Geul is happening. Sitz Mitzrayim, the Makas Becharis is happening right now in front of our eyes. We're not celebrating events of 3,300 years ago plus. We're celebrating something that's the chadish right now. That's the koyach of Leil HaSeder. That the Sarah Timisham Bechol Davador Kil Yotzata. So that's what the Rav would explain why the halal is a different kind of a halal. It's a halal of shas hanes. It's not a halal of something in the past, and therefore wouldn't warrant the bracha. So what the Rav said, the Gabbai Rav Haigon said, the Netziv said the similar idea in terms of whether halal is deraisa derabbanan to Leil HaSeder. There was a big machlekes rishonim in general where the mitzvah of halal come from. The Sheikh Yeshua says it's one of the girls, who made up this mitzvah saying halal. So the Rambam writes in Hilchos Chanukah, all the difference of halal equals to Hilchos Chanukah. The Rambam writes that the whole halal, Hakol Bikol Kol, is all in the Rabban. The whole thing is mitzvah divrei sefer. Halal and Pesach is the Rabban, halal. Chanukah is the Rabban, halal. It says halal. And whenever you say halal, it doesn't say anywhere in the Chumash, Rav Shem Mashlema say halal. So the whole recitation of halal was a special mitzvah of the Rabban. Chazal instituted halal, either because of a Nesa, because of a Yomtiv. Those are the two triggers that the Gemara says in Tainas and Mesechus Erechid. But fundamentally, it's only a mitzvah of the Rabban. That's why the Rambam took issue with the Bahag. The Bahag counted in his Tag Mitzvahs, he counted Hal as one of the Tag Mitzvahs. So the Rambam says that the statement of Chazal, Tag Mitzvahs, Nemel Moshe B'Sinai, the Gemara in the end of Maseches Makos, so the Losh of Gemara is Nemel Moshe B'Sinai, namely Der Isis. The Rambam says you don't count Neres Chanukah until Sidayim Irving, you don't count Dinim Durabonin in the Tag Mitzvahs, Nemel Moshe B'Sinai. The Rambam was the biggest machmer in Dinim Durabonin. The Rambam held that if you don't do a Din Durabonin, you're violating a Nisa Deraisa, Lo Sosa. The Rambam was the biggest machmer on Durabonins. But the Rambam says, when he's writing a Sefer Mitzvahs, you're writing Minyan Mitzvahs, so you have to use certain criteria. So otherwise, all the Rishonim had a big, big problem in writing Tag Mitzvah books. Because everyone's got to get to the same number, and we're not quite sure how to get there. So you have to think of Klolim of that will explain every single Mitzvah, what belongs in your Mitzvah, what does belong, what does belong. It's lahav of Abdullah. It's like the Dubna Magid's Moshul. Yes, the Dubna Magid was close to the Vilna Gaon, so they asked the Dubna Magid. Hachabi has these great Mishalim. Every time he has a Moshul, hits it right on the target. So what did he answer? So I'll give you a Moshul. Give you a Moshul. Otherwise, Mishalim are good. So he gave the famous Moshul about the archer that the king was walking in the forest. And he sees an unbelievable thing. He sees there's a bullseye and there's an arrow directly in the bullseye. So the king thinks the guy's unbelievable. Whoever shot that arrow must be unbelievable. So he goes to the next tree and he says again, Nochamo, every, he goes 20 trees, every single tree is mamish perfect. So he says, I got to find this archer. So he goes to the next tree and he sees there's a little boy standing by the tree with a little marker. So the king says, I can't believe it. You're 10 years old. You're the most best archery guy in the world. He says, how do you do this? So he says, it's very, very simple. I shoot my arrow first, and then wherever it lands, then I make my bullseye around the arrow. So that's what the Bagid explained, that the reason why his Mishalim is so good is that first he comes up with what he has to say. He has a message he wants to say, and then he makes up the mushal to go around it. Anyway. So here also, everybody got to get to the same number. You got to get to number 613. So you got to scratch your head 1,000 times to figure out what claw am I going to figure out that's going to make it to 613. So we don't have very, very little to go on. The Gemara says, Tai mitzvahs nemar l'moshe b'sinai. That's all. That's all we have. So the Rambam in the Sefer Mitzvahs writes, you have to be medayik in that losha to figure out what the rules are. So first of all, the Rambam says, it's got to be a mitzvah. So a mitzvah means a din l'dayrus, because shetziv Hashem l'dayrusaychem. A mitzvah always connotation of l'dayrus. So if you have something that was given by Kadosh Baruch to Moshe Rabbeinu, but it was never meant to be a din l'dayrus, it was only meant as a rashah for a very, very short amount of time, that's not considered to be a mitzvah. That's why the Rambam says you don't count, let's say, l'moshel, there was a din that was given in the midbar, that you have to finish the mon that day. You can't leave the mon over to the next day. So that doesn't qualify as a mitzvah. Even though if a person violated that, this man Torah midbar, so they were in violation of the Dvar Hashem. That's not a tzibur, that's not a mitzvah ter. That's a dvar Hashem, it's a harosha. Well, let's say the Gemara says that in the door of the Boy Ha'aretz, when they entered the Eretz Yisrael, so anyone who didn't have any brothers, so she was Yoresha, so her father's Nachala, so she had to marry into the same Shevet, like with a little bit of an Oslofcha, because otherwise you're going to have a mess up in terms of the Nachla is going to go Meshevet L'Shevet Achim, Matla Mata Acher. So the Gemara says in the end of Bava Basra that was only a din for that generation, for the door Boy Ha'aretz. In later years, let's say, on the Shidduch resume, you don't have to write, I'm from Shevet Naphtali and I'm from Shevet Reuben. You know, you can marry whoever you want. It doesn't matter who you marry, even if you are a Basi Reshes Nachala. That din was only knowing that generation. So the Rambam does not count that as one of the 613 mitzvahs, even though if a person violated that, they were violating the Bar Hashem, but that wasn't a mitzvah Hashem. That was a Rosh Hashem for the Rabbanu Shalom. So it has to be a mitzvah. Then the Rambam writes, it has to be a Nemel Moshe B'Sinai. It has to be something that was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Kadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu about Shabbos and Kashrus and Tefillin and Mikvah and Pesach, but he didn't, so to speak, mitzvah Moshe Rabbeinu about Neres Chanukah. The Gemara says that Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu b'derech nevuah what's going to happen in years to come. The same way Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu the history of the Jewish people, Ad Yom Acharon. So the Chazal say Ad Yom Acharon. Kadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu everything what's going to happen, transpire for all of Jewish history. So we showed Moshe Rabbeinu about Kriyas HaMegillah and Neres Chanukah, all the great things that are going to happen in the future. But it wasn't a mitzvah. Kadosh Baruch Hu didn't expect Moshe Rabbeinu to start in the midbar. They didn't lay in the Megillah. That's silly. The Gemara says that Herod Kadosh Baruch Hu Moshe Rabbeinu Kriyas HaMegillah doesn't mean that they were laying the Megillah in the midbar. Haman wasn't. Achshverosh didn't happen yet. So they didn't do the mitzvahs derabanan until the days of Mordechai v'Esther. But therefore the Rambam writes that any din derabanan that was instituted by a later days din, you can't count that as one of the Tag mitzvahs. You mechui ben atar to do it because of Lo Sosu. That doesn't count as one of the Tag mitzvahs. So the Rambam took an issue with the Bahag. The Bahag counted Hal as one of the Tag mitzvahs. So the Rambam says, when you count it, it's a mitzvah derabanan, it's like Neres Chanukah. So the Ramban has a whole arichos and sefer mitzvahs to try to defend the Bahag. So the Ramban has a shtickle Torah that the Bahag must have held that there is a mitzvah deraisa to say halal and yontif. What's the mitzvah? So the Ramban's not sure what that mitzvah is. The Ramban wasn't sure. Is it a mitzvah of simchas yontif? That's one possibility. Or maybe it was a halacha moshe b'sinai. Stam to say halal and yontif. Either way, it doesn't really solve the Bahag, because if it was part of the mitzvah simchas yontif, so we already count the simchas yontif as a mitzvah. If it's halacha moshe b'sinai, so that becomes tricky. Do you count halacha moshe b'sinai also as some of the Tari mitzvahs? That's also not so simple. So whatever the case may be, is the Rambam didn't think that halal is anything more than a regular mitzvah. The Rabbanan doesn't belong in the count and shun. So not everyone agrees to that. Rambam. So the Netziv has a suggestion that maybe sometimes halal is deraisa and sometimes halal is derabanan. The Gemara says beferish in Tainus and in Erichin that there's sometimes we say halal b'toras yontif and sometimes b'toras neis. So when we say halal b'toras neis, says that it's if there's a further breakdown, not all nisim are the same. If you're saying halal as a celebration of a past miracle, hold on, sorry. You need.
You need a cup.
It's a hamish, it says. So the Netziv says that when you say halal for a nay, so sometimes the halal is deraisa, sometimes the rabban, depends. If you say halal for a nay, that happened years ago, Chanukah. I lit Chanukah the other day. I said halal 3 months ago for the events that happened 2,000 plus years ago. So the Netziv says that's only a halal of the rabban. But on Pesach night, everything is different. Manish Tayal has with the Leilas because it's a halal of Shas HaNeis. And halal of Shas HaNeis is Mamash Adin Deraisa. That's what the Netziv has the word. That's what Az Yashem Moshe means. That they sang Kriyas Yamsu, they sang Shiras Hayam that year. There's no din to sing Shiras Hayam all Shvisha Pesach. You don't have to get around to sing Shiras Hayam. But the Chassidim, they make a whole big party. Water, they walk over water on the Shvisha Pesach. There's no such din like that. Because only on Pesach night is there a din of you have to recreate the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim. On Shvisha Pesach, it's just events of the past. So we say Al and Shul the next day as a... It's really a Yadav Tekalat. I'm not even sure what the Hal of Shvisha Pesach is. But the only time there's a Hal of Deraisa is only by the Leil HaSeder. Because that's the Hal of Shas HaNeis. That's the famous word for the Netziv. That's what the Netziv says. That's what we say in the Haggadah. We have two passages from Chazal that we put next to each other. We say, B'chol dor v'dor chayev al nursas ha'atzmo. And then we say, L'fikach adam chayev l'haydus. So L'fikach means therefore. What's the therefore? So you get the impression, says the Netziv, and the fact is there's a dinner b'chol dor v'dor, therefore we have to say halal. Vice versa, if it wouldn't be a dinner b'chol dor v'dor, we wouldn't say halal. So he says, no, we would have said halal, but it would have been a shvach halal, it would have been a derabantik halal. You want to make it an elevator, a b'chol dor v'dor, chayev adam nursas ha'atzmo, that becomes a fikach adam chayev l'haydus. Therefore a halal takes on a whole new light. Takes out a deraisa dikahal. It's a famous word from the Netziv. That's where the Netziv took issue with the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer writes in the Tshuva that the Hal of Chanukah is a deraisa dikahal. So the Netziv says, no. The first Chanukah was deraisa. Or the first Purim, so celebration Purim was deraisa. All the celebrations of future years of historical events is only a celebration of the Rabbanan. Chassam Sofer wrote a tshuva defending the practice. There used to be a practice in different communities in Europe. Sometimes they would experience their own personal yeshuas. They would have these big miracles would happen. So the Rabbanu would institute, they have like these mini Purims. So it was a famous in Frankfurt. It was one of those towns. They had a famous yeshua that happened sometime. I forgot when exactly, some in the Middle Ages. They had this big one. Lady, I forgot again what year it was. They had a big yeshua that happened. It was in Chodesh Ad. It was like, I think, a couple of days after Purim. So they had the famous Purim to Frankfurt. They used to have a celebration on that day. We would have a service mitzvah for them. They're singing and dancing to celebrate those events. So Chassam Sofer was born in Frankfurt. He was a Yekid by birth. Later years, he moved to Hungary. He became a Rav in Pressburg. He became the Rashiv in Pressburg. But he was born in Frankfurt. So he signs all his tshuvas, Moshe called me Frankfurt, Frankfurt Deman. If you look at the end of all the tshuvas of Chassam Sofer, everyone ends with Pei Pei Dal Mem. So you're probably thinking, wow, what deep, dark, mystical, secret Rosh Hashanah are those? Frankfurt Deman, because there were two, there was, the Main was a river, so there was one river, the Main River, one was the Oder River, there were two Frankfurts. So he wanted to make sure you knew which Frankfurt he came from. So he wrote Pei Pei Dal Mem, Frankfurt Deman. Moshe caught them from Frankfurt Deman. So in that tshuva, he talks about that minute that he saw when he was a little boy, when they used to have these celebrations. So he defends that celebration, saying that he thinks maybe Mechumina Torah to make the celebration, because it's a halal as a celebrating a nais that happened years before. So the Netziv writes, no, if you lived in Frankfurt in the year 69, whenever that miracle happened, then you're Mechumina Torah to celebrate. To celebrate afterwards, you're not Mechuyiv to. If the Chacham make a takon, you celebrate. If you make a takon, you don't celebrate.
Say halal to bracha.
What they did in Frankfurt then I have no idea. I don't know what they did. If it's deraisa, you hold this deraisa, you say halal to bracha. Yeah, I don't know. Not sure. So some of the rabbanim were saying that Mitaka really should have some kind of a not a formal halal, but some kind of a shevach v'odoya for the events of last Motzei Shabbos. It was at least a chash to some degree. Nace, what do you call it? Nace nigger, nace nista, whatever you want to call it. It was definitely a tremendous chesed, Hashem Yisbarach. So it probably warranted some kind of outpouring of Shevach Lodoya. So I don't know, I'm not sure what the follow up was, but keep me posted. Okay, anyway, so the back to that story. So we have halal, so we're saying halal, deraisa halal, not deraisa halal, whatever the case may be. But the Rav Haigon is clearly linking this halal to the halal shel nace. So there are other Bisharim who say that the halal that we say Pesach night is legamri, different halal. It's nothing to do with the nays of Yitzis Mitzrayim. The reason why I say halal on Pesach night is the same reason why I say Halal on Erev Pesach in the Beis HaMikdash. The Mishnah says, and so we spoke about this at the beginning of the year, but Shiras Alevim. That's like one of the first sugyas that we had. The Mishnah says in Tamid Nishchat that they used to say Halal b'shashchitas haPesach. So there was a big machlekes in Shem. Who said the Halal? Machlekes whether it was the Levim who sang the Halal, whether the Yisraelim who were shechting said the Halal. So we hold it was Levim, that it was a din of Shiras Alevim. That was Taisus Kasha and Amshul Ayayin when we spoke about this. But according to other Mishnah, it was the Yisraelim themselves who said the Halal. Why were they saying Halal? Because you have mitzvah shel simcha, these tremendous, tremendous mitzvahs, unbelievable Yeshua and simcha of Geula, like Shchitas HaPesach, so you have to accompany that with the recitation of Halal. So the Ramban quotes at the end of Avir Pesachim that maybe the Halal on Pesach is the same thing, that we have Halal b'shach Shchitas HaPesach, the two parts of Pesach, there's the Shchitas, there's the Achila, there's two different mitzvahs, the Kalp is two different mitzvahs. Like we pass in Shchitas Ma'akev, if you didn't eat the Achila, so you were still Yotzi the mitzvah of Shchita. So the Ramban says that maybe the halal that we say on Pesach night is a halal of mitzvah achilas korban Pesach. It's the same way we make a halal by the shechitas of korban Pesach. So why do we do it bizman hazeh? So says the Ramban, it's the same way we eat afikoman, the same way we do everything else on Pesach night. We after the korban they continued all the anhagas that took place in bizman hamikdash. So it just continues on bizman hazeh as well. The Gemara has a beautiful description of the halal that took place bizman hamikdash b'shas the Leila Seder. The Gemara says that there was a big problem, a logistical nightmare, in terms of how to eat the Korban Pesach, because Korban Pesach has to be eaten in Yerushalayim. It's Kachim Kalim, you can't take it out of Yerushalayim. And it can't be eaten on a second floor, because Aliyas Lagadah Slovis Kachu, that only the ground level had the full-fledged condition of Yerushalayim. So here a guy spends a lot of money, goes to the Waldorf, they stick him on the 14th floor, and then they tell him you can't eat his Korban Pesach there, because it's too high up. So he's got to come down on the ground. The problem is there's no room on the ground. All the people have the loaf. Everyone took his place already. So the Gemara says they came up with the Pshar in Yerushalayim, that they would take turns, they would have rotations, a system of everyone would take turns eating the Kazayit's Korban Pesach, and then when they finished the Korban Pesach, they would go up on the roofs to say Halal, because there wasn't enough room to say, everyone's going to sing Halal on the ground floor, that the next shift won't be able to come in. So they had a revolving door. You ate your Kazayit's, then you went upstairs to the roof. So the Gemara says that Kazayit's Pischa, Halal Bishma Igra, something like that, the roofs would almost burst. There was so much singing. All the celebrations were taking place on the roofs, because after they finished eating the Korban Pesach, then they would go up and sing the Halal. So beautiful imagery that the Gemara describes in the end of Maseches Pesachim. So the bottom line is everyone's got to say Halal, and we said Lechatchila, we should try to say the Halal before Chatzos, try to finish all the mitzvahs Halayla if you can before Chatzos. So after we finish Halal, so you drink the fourth kos, then you have to make a bracha chrona. You have to make a chrona because there's no more kos after that. We don't make a bracha achrona after the first kos because it's benching is going to pot to that. We don't make a bracha achrona after the second kos, benching is going to pot to that. Those are the same way we don't make bracha achronas after kiddush. It's a shalom rishonim, but that's what that minig is. So the first and second koses were covered by the bracha achrona of benching. The third and fourth koses are going to be covered by the bracha achrona of ala gefen. So you have to try to remember to make it ala gefen. We spoke about this earlier. You have different opinions how much you have to drink to make it ala gefen. So we try to follow the Rambam's view. You have to have a revius. So even though you don't have to drink a revius, your kos has to be revius, but you don't have to drink a revius to be able to each of the kosos. The last kos, you should try to drink a revius in order to say a bracha chorana. If for whatever reason you just stuffed and you can't, you don't feel you can, so you hear a bracha chorana from somebody else.
There's no issue of like hefsek
It's a very, very long hefsek, but we assume that it's all part of the Suda, that the Kiddush cup is still mature after the Suda, even though there's 3 hours of Magid in between. When you drink a bracha chorana, so we learned the sugya says at the end of the sixth parak of brachas that Chazal instituted that if the wine comes from the Gemara doesn't speak about wine, but speaks about the fruit, but we assume it applies to the wine also. If the wine comes from Eretz Yisrael, so then one adds on one changes the nusach a little bit al aretz v'al peroser al aretz v'al pregafna. So you have to be careful. You have to take a look at the bottle and see where it comes from. So there's a certain bottle of wine that's floating around in the market these days. It's packaged like it's Eretz Yisrael Dika wine. It has all the Hebrew letters on it. It's the same package that it has. But if you look in the back, you'll notice that it's from the Shemitah year. So it's actually a product of Spain. That it says in the back, it says Yavul Chutzlaretz, and it says in the English, in very, very tiny letter, it says product of Spain. So people are going to be misled by that wine. They're going to think that's from Eretz Yisrael. So you should try Lechatchila. Just check your bottle of wine before noon. We're always going to come to an end. It's not even come to Pesach, but it's still. So you should try to make the recite the proper Lechatchila.
What's the Lechatchila?
Grape juice was a big question. So we assume that grape juice is good for Kiddush. The Gemara says, Baba Basi, you can just squeeze grapes in Erev Shabbos and make a couple of grape juice, that's okay. So Ramesh, as a Kiddush, he says that it's not good for Dalakosis, because Dalakosis, the Gemara always speaks about Derecheros. So Ramesh said that Derecheros has to have something that's a little bit alcoholic. It doesn't have to mamish knock out, but it has to have something that's a little, has the koch to intoxicate a little bit. So that's Ramesh, the grape juice wouldn't be acceptable for Dalakosis. If a guy's stuck, he can't, whatever, he's sick, whatever it is, other medical reasons, he can't drink wine, doesn't drink wine. So that's all Yotze. Ramesh says, you're not Yotze that dimension of Dalakosis. You're Yotze Dalakosis, but you're not Yotze the added dimension of Derecheros. And the Rav disagreed. The Rav had a deed from Lashon Ram. The Rambam writes that you have to drink wine that shtia reva lo, that you enjoy. So the Rav said, the guy can't stand the wine, so then what kind of Derecheros is that? So for him, Derecheros is grape juice. So the Rav said, if your mamash can't stand wine, so you should drink a grape juice. I usually tell people, if they're able to drink wine, drink wine. You should drink very, very low wine. There's no mitzvah to have a high percentage of wine. You should have, I drink the lowest of the low mamash, so 5%, 500%. The mamash, the cheapie is the wine. And then you can drink. Nothing's going to happen to you. If you have 13% wine by the first coat, your head will hit the pillow by carpus. So you have to be, there's no mitzvah to drink a high level wine. Whatever, try to lowest possible kind of wine that you enjoy. I think the puzzles, I think you answer either way. So I don't remember. I have to take a look. Let's look at the books. I don't remember anymore. The Dir Shumash Shabura has about this one simon about changing the bracha. It gives you 15 different tashitas, but everything, if you're not sure of the suffering with it, everything under the sun about the stuff. Okay. Sure. All right. Anyway, after Halal, so then the Victor Fort Coast, the Halachic Seder ends. Then Yirtzo, so Chassal Seder Pesach, that's a minig. Then we have all these different minhagim throughout. You know, everyone should sing whatever songs you sing, whatever tunes you sing. Everyone should finish whatever it says by God. You should finish. And then afterwards, the Chayyadim quotes as a custom to say Shir Hashirim, because there are a lot of Ramazim in Shir Hashirim to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So it's very apropos for the events of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and. Then the Shulchan Aruch quotes that after the Seder is over, you should try to stay up as much as you can to continue to be the Sabbath Yitzias Mitzrayim and to continue to be Oisik B'chus HaPesach. Some have the practice, they leave some of the mats on the table as long as they're still going, because it should be a little bit more of a lechemoni, lechem v'rem harbe. So some have such a practice. Once you trash, you have to finish Shena until they collapse. So most people collapse pretty soon after the Seder is over. So whenever they collapse, they should collapse and try. We have a minig that you cut down a little bit on some of the extra tefillahs people say with Kriyas Lamita, that's Lel Shimurim. So you some just say a mapel in the first Parash Shema, and sure, you know all the other psukim and all the other stuff that some people say. So it's usually most people don't say that on Lel Seder. After the Seder, so you're not supposed to eat anything, supposed to drink anything. If you have tam matzah b'fiv, so you can have a little bit of water. That's okay. Quote the brisk of Rav with Mekel Nef tea. I don't know if you have flavored, I don't think you have too much flavored tea in brisk, but in the regular tea, brisk of Rav said it was okay. But why don't you be careful not to have too much. Some folks can quote the practice, not to brush your teeth or to use mouthwash, other kind of things afterwards. Maybe that also affects the tam and matzah. So I'm not sure. The Gemara doesn't talk about it. So whatever it is, some have that kapeda. Then why don't you try to make sure you get up for chakras the next morning and try to enjoy the rest of the mitzvah. Okay, wish everybody a wonderful, wonderful yantuk. Hakosh v'sameach. Okay, and Yitzhak, we come back bright and early when?